Hello and welcome to the Socialist World podcast from the Committee for Workers International, putting forward a Marxist analysis and revolutionary socialist program to arm the struggle against capitalism.
Welcome to this Socialist World podcast from the Committee for Workers International, the CWI. My name is Sean Figg from the CWI's International Secretariat. In this podcast, Germany, seen for a whole period as a bulwark of capitalist stability on the European continent. It has entered a period of turmoil now, unprecedented since reunification more than 30 years ago. Today, I am joined by Sasha Stanicic, National Spokesperson of Socialist Organization Solidarity, or SOL, the CWI in Germany, to discuss our analysis of the situation there.
Well, hello, Sean. Very happy to join you here on the CWI podcast.
So, Sasha, would it be right to say that Germany is hovering on the brink of a political crisis?
Well, I think it is no exaggeration to say that this government, which is a coalition of the Social Democracy, the Green Party and the Liberal Party, and because of the colors which these parties use, it is called the Traffic Light Coalition. And it's no exaggeration to say that this government is in a permanent state of crisis. This has obviously to do with different factors, but as always, the economy is central to that. Germany is now labeled again the sick man of Europe. It had a contraction of its economy by 0.3% last year. So we are in a situation of recession. The forecasts for this year have been dramatically reduced by the government and by economic institutes. And I think it was one economic commentator who said that zero growth will be the new normal for Germany. So this economic background obviously leads to problems in regard to the income of the state. For the first time for a number of years, we now have cuts budgets again. And then what happened was that the Constitutional Court made a ruling which was a big surprise to everyone, because it said that certain practices of the government were illegal, which was that the government used what is called emergency situations. They can call an emergency situation to overcome the debt brake, which is part of the German constitution, which limits the amount of credit the government has the right to take up. And in an emergency situation, it can take up more credit. So they did that in regard to the corona situation. And then they used money for other fields. And the Constitutional Court said that is illegal. So from one day to the other, the government really lost 60 billion euros for its budget. And that is increasing the pressure on cuts in social services, in education, and so on and so forth. So you have that situation of the pressure of cuts because of the situation of the budget, and now an enormous pressure on the side of the capitalists for what they call economic reforms, lower taxes, longer working hours, more flexibilization in regard to working hours. And this is creating a big tension within the government itself. And I think that really, if there was a safe alternative government from the point of view of the ruling class, maybe they would have moved to push for new elections. But this is not the case, because the political landscape in Germany is now very unstable, scattered, and it is getting more unstable by the day.
Well, let's come on to that, because if I understand correctly, there's a number of state elections in September. And political parties that are currently outside the government are potentially going to do very well in those elections. The Alternative for Deutschland and a new party that has split from the Left Party. Maybe if we could start with the Alternative for Deutschland,
Well, the alternative for Deutschland is AfD. Has been founded 10 years ago. And it is a right-wing populist party, but it has moved further to the right than other right-wing populist parties in Europe. We have the awkward situation that the AfD just recently has been criticized by Marine Le Pen for its ideas on migration, or rather remigration, which means the forced deportation of millions of migrants or German citizens with a migrant background, which is discussed in that party. So what we have is a right-wing populist party, which has at least a very strong far-right, even fascistic element. But this party stands now at 19% in opinion polls for the national parliament, the Bundestag. But as you mentioned, the federal state elections, which are due in September, they will be in East Germany, in different Eastern German federal states. And there, the AfD in opinion polls reaches up to 30% and is the strongest party.
It's a process that we've seen in a whole number of countries that has now quantitatively and qualitatively developed in Germany, this phenomenon of right-wing populism. Because in a whole number of countries, and you yourself, Sasha, have produced lots of material for the CWI on this question. You mentioned Marine Le Pen, France, Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, recently coming out as the largest party in elections, Meloni in Italy. The seeming rise of these right-wing populist parties. But while some draw very pessimistic conclusions, the sort of march of right-wing reactionary ideas, there is the other side of the process.
What we have seen just in the last weeks has been a huge mass movement of millions of people who've taken to the street against the AfD, against racism. Unfortunately, that mass movement did not sufficiently distance itself from the government and the pro-capitalist political parties. On the contrary, in many cases, there were politicians by the government parties even speaking on demonstrations. Even conservative politicians spoke on some of the demonstrations, which reflect the big fear that the AfD could get stronger, that the AfD strength can destabilize the situation even more. But in our view, we have to discuss what are the root causes for the strength of the AfD. And in our view, they lie with exactly the politics of the pro-capitalist parties, which push people to look for an anti-establishment alternative. And in the given political landscape, really, the AfD has been or was seen as the only anti-establishment alternative. So people, there is a layer of people who would say that they vote or they intend to vote for the AfD to give a blow to the other parties.
It's very important what you've explained there. People are looking for something to hit back at the political establishment with.
What we see is a polarization in society, and we have a situation where this polarization is reflected in different things. One thing is that we have an enormous increase in the class struggle. We have an enormous increase in strikes for higher wages, better working conditions, shorter working week. But this class polarization at this stage does not find a political expression on the left, but it finds an expression on the political level when it comes to elections or opinion polls for elections. It finds that expression on the right with the AfD. But it's important for us in our analysis of the situation to say this does not mean there's a simple shift to the right in society. We also have to see that while the votes for the right-wing populists have generally been going up, the number of non-voters, of people who do not participate in elections anymore has also gone up. And I think that is important to note, because these are people who do not accept the offer they get from the AfD to express their protest. And by the way, the other thing which we shouldn't forget is that there are millions of migrant workers in Germany who have no right to vote. You know, if they had the right to vote, you can be sure that the share of the AfD vote would drop.
From what you've said, it sounds like there is a danger that with the involvement of the capitalist politicians from the main capitalist parties attempting to place themselves in the leadership of this movement, they can, in fact, deepen and accelerate polarization that's developing in German society.
But I agree that the role establishment parties play in that mass movement limits the effect of that mass movement. And we are worried that the effect can be just a hardening up of that polarization, and that it largely will reassure those people who are opposed to the AfD anyway. Now, that is important because it will have an effect on society. It means that people who are opposed to the AfD, who are opposed to blatant racism, will have a higher confidence to speak out. And that is important. You know, it is important that on your workplace, in your school, university, neighborhood, people speak out. And in that sense, that mass movement is something positive. And obviously, we as socialists have called for demonstrations, have intervened there. But we also say that we have to fight the root causes of the growth of the far right and of the AfD. And that means that a program to really push back the AfD need to also take up the anti-working class politics of the establishment capitalist parties.
What are we putting forward for the way forward for the protests against the AfD?
We are arguing for a movement which combines the fight against the far right with a joint struggle of working class people of all nationalities, of all religions, for their common interests. Better wages, better housing, better infrastructure. But also we say that the state racism, the politics of deportations, of making it more difficult to get asylum in Germany, that this also has to be tackled, and that a movement against the far right has to be a anti-racist movement which also fights against state racism.
Now, of course, in Germany, as in a number of other European countries, there has been a new left party that's been a feature of the political scene for a number of years now, Die Linke, the left. Now, that has not been able to play that role, from what you have said. Why is that?
Yes, the left party was launched in 2007. And without going into the details of its history, in our view, the main reason it has not developed into a mass socialist party with a strong base amongst the working class, and rather it has lost support over the last years, is that there has been a strong tendency in the party to adapt to pro-capitalist politics. And that was mainly reflected through the party entering coalition governments with the Social Democracy and the Green Party on federal state level. And in these coalitions, they would execute, if you like, normal policies. You wouldn't see a qualitative difference in the politics of state governments, which include the left party, to other state governments. Now, it has to be said, this is only one side of a contradictory phenomena. We have supported critically the left party in elections. A lot of our members are members in the left party, and we have fought for a socialist program. We have fought against that policy of coalitionism with pro-capitalist parties, because we do think that the overall balance of class forces in Germany, the overall situation from the point of view of the working class and from the point of view of socialists would be worse if the Left Party did not exist, if the Left Party was not in parliament. But unfortunately, the politics which the party leadership has been conducting over the last period has actually led to a decline in support.
What have been the developments around the recent split of Sahra Wagenknecht?
The most prominent party leader historically, Sahra Wagenknecht, who was seen for many years as a representative of the left wing of the party. She really has moved to a position which she herself calls left conservative, which is really a left nationalist populist combination of positions, in which she would, on the one hand, call for more social security, workers' rights, but she has dropped any reference to socialism. She has become a very conscious and expressive supporter of the market economy. In my view, puts forward the illusion that there could be a going back to the stable times of capitalism in the 60s, if you like. The idea that you should support medium-sized companies against the huge corporations. In my view, all this is an illusion of creating a more just, more social, better functioning capitalism, which is not possible given the crisis-ridden nature of capitalism. But Sahra Wagenknecht, at the same time, puts forward quite nationalistic positions and very strong anti-migration positions, which are in some aspects to the right of the government policy. For example, she demands that those asylum seekers who have no chance of getting asylum should not get any social benefits. And this is a scandalous position, has nothing to do with left-wing politics. But it is a complicated phenomenon. Sahra Wagenknecht has now formed a new party, which is called Alliance Sahra Wagenknecht. The name in and of itself shows that it is more of a top-down personalized project than a real lively political party. But it is very likely that it will get quite a substantial amount of votes. It stands at 6% in opinion polls nationally at the moment. It's very likely that it will enter the European Parliament in the elections in June, the East German state parliaments, which see elections in September. And it is a new player, and it has it means that the political landscape is more scattered, coalition options become more complicated. But in our view, it is a split to the right, and it is not a split in the direction of what is necessary, which is a real working class party with a mass base, with democratic structures, with a socialist program, which focuses on the development of the class struggle.
It sounds like a complicated political situation that you're describing there for socialists to intervene in. Would it be correct to say the Left Party sounds like it was seen as part of the political establishment by a section, notwithstanding what you said about acting as a certain left pole in society? It's clear that Wagenknecht, rather than try and put a class alternative to the racism and anti-immigrant positions of the AfD, wants to adapt to it. It must be very complicated for us to intervene against those cross currents. What's the general attitude amongst workers, young people, to the idea of building a left political alternative that is not some mixture of what has been on offer?
Well, I think that it is very hard to speak of a general attitude because you have very mixed consciousness, and there is a layer now which probably has some hopes in the new party by Wagenknecht, although I would reckon that this probably is rather a more older layer in society. Certainly the membership of the party has very few young people. I think that in general, the idea, if we talk to workers, and express the general idea of the need for a working class party, you would get a lot of sympathy for that. But most workers would also not see at this moment in time a way to create such a party. And obviously the development of the left party has not increased confidence or hopes in the possibility of developing a workers' party. But having said that, I do think that despite the fact that we are in such a very contradictory, complicated situation, it is actually a good time to build support for Marxist ideas and to build the Marxist organization which we are building. And that is because of the class polarization and the increase in the class struggle.
If I'm right in thinking, there's a significant escalation. We've talked about the AfD protests, but a significant escalation in the class struggle in terms of strikes and so on.
Oh, yes. Last year has seen an enormous increase in strikes, mainly in the public sector, amongst postal workers, retail workers. Today, the train drivers are striking. Airline staff and airport staff is on strike. And in a way, Germany is catching up to countries where German workers would have looked to in the past, like France, which was seen as, oh, the French workers, you know, they go on strike to defend their interests. And there is an important change in Germany now. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of workers have participated in these strikes. The membership of the trade unions has gone up. There has been a certain activation also of workers inside the trade unions. And this is the other part of the picture. And obviously, these workers make important experiences in terms of struggle, in terms of solidarity, in terms of striking together with their migrant workmates and all of that. And that is something which does actually give a lot of hope to the situation. At the same time, it must be said that the trade union leaderships, given that they are really integrated into the capitalist system and that they still pursue a policy of social partnership, they have tried to reach compromises with the employers as soon as they were possible. So what we have seen really were warning strike movements, but not indefinite strikes yet. And in general, the results of these strikes were much better than in the past, but still, I think overall you could say that most workers still will end up with a loss in real wages given the high level of inflation and the cost of living crisis.
And am I right? It's not only workers.
Oh, yes. We have seen a very important protest movement of farmers in January, which was, if you like, a cross-class movement where the big farmers and the small farmers went to the streets together because of attacks by the government, which would have increased taxes on all of them. But it showed that also the middle class is affected by attacks by the government, by the crisis. And really, if the trade union leaderships had acted in a different way, had linked up their struggles with the farmers, you could have had a situation to bring the country to a standstill. That did not happen, but it shows the volatility and the potential for further conflicts to develop.
I think that's an important point to begin drawing the discussion to a close, really, because the development of the class struggle is presenting complications, but also opening up enormous possibilities for the building of the CWI, of the forces of Marxism, of the broader workers' movement, of the development of the youth movement.
Absolutely. What it also reflects is that, as I said before, we must not have a superficial view to the processes in society. For some on the left, what is happening now is a shift to the right. For us, the development of the class struggle and strikes is most decisive. We know that sooner or later, this will also find a political expression. But we're not waiting for that, because we do make the experience that we can increase our support today. We have doubled our membership in the course of the last couple of years. We have increased our standing and our work in the trade unions. And we are very optimistic to build a growing and influential Marxist organization in Germany. And in a way, capitalism and the government are our best allies in that. Because what we see now, as I said before, is a growing demand by the capitalists and by right-wing politicians to move into the direction of sharper attacks against the working class. They want to limit the right to strike. They want to increase the retirement age. There's a talk of limiting social expenditure. They want to lower the taxes for corporations. It's a whole list of attacks which are going to come, which we are preparing for now. We are, if you like, sounding the alarm bells in the trade unions to say there has to be opposition to that. We have the trade unions have to build a campaign and resistance to the coming attacks. And that is a campaign we are just starting now. And we are very confident that we will get a lot of support for that and that we will build the forces of socialism and the forces of the CWI in Germany and develop a strong socialist organization.
Exciting developments in Germany and important optimism on the perspectives for building the CWI there, Sasha. Thanks for taking the time to discuss the situation today. And just in closing, I mean, the polarization and escalation of the class struggle in Germany, as we've pointed out, is being reflected around the world. Future podcasts, we will be visiting other countries to discuss the unfolding of the class struggle there and the perspectives for events and the building of the forces of Marxism. If you're interested in finding out more about what we've discussed today, there's lots of material on the CWI website, www.socialistworld.net, material from our comrades in Germany, including material written by Sasha analysing the situation. As always, if you've been inspired by the ideas that we've discussed today, we appeal to you to join the CWI. Again, visit our website, submit your details, and we will be in touch.
The Committee for a Workers International is organized on every continent. If you would like to join us and get active, building the CWI in your part of the world, please visit our website at socialistworld.net. Here, you can also subscribe to our weekly email newsletter and support our work by making a donation. If you have any question or comment about the podcast, please let us know and we may try and respond in future episodes.